This is Rick Gentry, and I want to thank everybody for listening today to Preaching Sunday on BPNRadio.com. I'm excited to introduce to you today Pastor Richard Adarosa, and he's from Florida. We're excited about his message today. Here's Pastor Richard.
Hello. Welcome to today's broadcast. My name is Rich Adarosa. I'm the senior pastor of Church of the Harvest, located in beautiful Pahokee, Florida, right along the Lake Okeechobee. My wife and I have been in the ministry for many years, and our heart is to see people transformed through the Word of God, and we really have a heart to win the lost to the Lord. And so I want to share with you today a message called God's Will for Wellness. God's Will for Wellness. So if you have your Bibles today, I'd like you to turn to the book of Matthew and look at chapter 8. That's Matthew chapter 8. And because as a pastor, there's a lot of ministry that is required to minister people that are dealing with illness, sickness, disease, and a number of things. And, you know, the enemy tries to attack us in our finances. He tries to attack us in our physical bodies. And healing, as we've spoken about in the past, is part of the atonement. And so Jesus took stripes for our healing according to Isaiah 53, Matthew 8, 17, and 1 Peter 2, 24. And so today I want to encourage you through the Word of God that God has a will, and His will for your wellness is yes, He wants you to be well. So in Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, I'm reading from the New King James, when he, Jesus, had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I'm willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. You see, a lot of people certainly have no trouble believing that God can heal. But the real issue is, can God heal and will he want to heal me? And so the real issue that this particular leper was dealing with is the stumbling block from him is knowing whether Jesus wanted to or was willing to heal him. Now the King James and most of the other translations really don't do this particular verse justice, and I want to refer now to a New Testament, an expanded translation from Kenneth Weist, a New Testament scholar and teacher, gone on to be with the Lord. But if you can ever get a hold of one of these books, and I think you can probably get them on Amazon, I'd really recommend that you do that. He also has a four-volume Trieste on the New Testament, the Gospels, and the Epistles. Let me read that verse to you, and it'll just make this situation that Jesus and this leper are dealing with come alive. It says, and behold, a leper, having fell upon his knees and touched his ground with his forehead in an expression of profound reverence before him, saying, Master, in the event that you may be having a heartfelt desire, you are able to cleanse me. And having stretched out his hand, he, referring to Jesus, touched him, saying, I'm desiring it from all my heart. Be cleansed at once. And immediately his leprosy was cured by being cleansed away. But did you see that, saints, where he said, I am desiring it from all my heart? You see, you have to understand that God and his word are one. God and his word is ultimate truth. We've talked about how we can change facts with the truth of God's word. Facts and circumstances are temporal. They're subject to change, but God's word is truth, and his word never changes. It's absolute. Pilate even asked him the question, what is truth? And it's kind of funny to think that the very truth of life and of all existence and all eternity was standing in front of the Pilate. I mean, it was just absolutely amazing. But you have to understand, folks, that God's will is for you to be well. We can further expand that by saying that it's God's will that you experience the fullness of his promises. The only thing that will limit you from experiencing the full promises of God is your believing them and acting on them. Now, we said in before and in other teachings that now then faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of what you can't see. And that faith is coming from the Word of God. And by hearing the Word of God, faith grows. And as we release our faith, then our faith will bring to pass what we have desired. Faith is the very substance of that thing you hope for, and it comes from the Word of God. And so we have to understand to apply these principles, but some of the biggest roadblocks that people deal with is God's willingness. I mean, as we said before, certainly anyone reasonable who believes there is a God could understand that God can do whatever he wants to do. But God has chosen to limit what he does in line with his word. And God and his word are one. And God and his word never change. God always does his word. And so whatever circumstances you might be facing today, understand this, saints, that God's word is God's will, and it's God's desire for you. God's will for you is wellness. I want you to look at Psalm 145. Psalm 145. You know, we think that with all the difficulties and all the things that are going on in the world, that God may sometimes feel, or we may feel that he's distant. But God is not distant. The Bible says he's closer than a brother. In fact, he's so close to you. I mean, how much closer can you get to somebody than be on the inside? He dwells with our human spirit by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when you got born again, made you a temple that he could inhabit. And God wants you to be full. He wants the Godhead to be functioning and operating in you to the full extent that you will allow him to. In Psalm 145, I love these particular verses. And if you've never listened to the tapes, or perhaps it's on YouTube, look up The Compassion of the Lord. It was a series that Kenneth E. Hagin had preached many years ago, and I've gotten a hold of this, and it really had a major impact in my life. Psalm 145, beginning in verse 8, says this: "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He's slow to anger and great in mercy." King James says, "and of great mercy." "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." The wonderful grace of God. It says he's gracious and he's filled with compassion. That compassion is an eager yearning that he has to love on the object of his affection, and that's you and I. But it says he's full of compassion. He's not just half filled. You know, we have that old saying that is your glass half empty or half full? And sometimes that response can tell a little bit about your outlook on life. But God's not a half empty, half full God. The Bible says here that he's full of compassion, that he's gracious, that he is disposed to show favor, that his grace was poured out upon all mankind when he sent his son Jesus. For the word says that by grace are ye saved through faith. It's not in our own doing. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not of work, so any man would boast. It's your faith that receives from the grace of God. And so your faith tapping into the grace of God is a wonderful thing. And it says here that the Lord, talking about the Lord Jesus, he's gracious and he's full of compassion. Notice it says here he's slow to anger. Boy, we'd sure like him to move a little more quickly sometimes, wouldn't we? Especially when we're dealing with things. And I learned a long time ago, when I'm dealing with circumstances and situations with people that are at cross purposes to mine, that I'm always better allowing the Lord to do it, because God has a higher purpose than solving your problem. And his higher purpose is to bring the other people into a saving knowledge of Jesus. Because God desires that none should perish, but all should have everlasting life. And he's a great mercy, great mercy. Now listen, the Bible also tells us that God's a God of mercy and truth. You just can't live on the mercy of God. You got to eat the truth of God's word as well. But thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his compassion. Thank God that he's a gracious God. It says here in verse 9, the most wonderful thing in the scripture, the Lord is good to all. Did you notice that word all in there? What does that word all mean? All. It means everything. It means no one is not, everyone is included. There's not anyone left out. The Lord is good to all. Does that mean the Lord is good to the drug dealer? Yes. Does it mean that God is good to the person that's steeped into sin? Yes. Does it mean that God is good to just the people that do good? Well, he's certainly good to them, but he's also good to those that are not. Why is it? Because he's good and he doesn't change. He's good and he doesn't change. He's good to all. He's good to saints and sinners. That's why Jesus, none of the people in the Gospels were born again. But Jesus, because he's good, healed them all. The Bible says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing what? Good. Good. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And you've got a good God living on the inside of you. You've got goodness on the inside of you today. And God wants that goodness to flow out of you to other people, like a river, like a flow. Because God's will is for your wellness. And God's will is for the wellness of people around you. You know, God loves to show himself strong and mighty. God loves to do miracles and healings and answers to prayer, because he wants people to know that he's a good God. The Lord is good to all. That means there's not anyone that he isn't good to. Remember that next time when you feel like just giving somebody a slap or you feel like just acting out. Realize that God is good and that God is gracious and that God is full of compassion and that God is good to that person. And that's why we should be good to that person. That's why Jesus could say to love your enemies. How can I love my enemies? Because God loves enemies. And his tender mercies are over all his works. What are tender mercies? Well, I had done a study on this a while back. And the word tender mercies kind of draws a picture of a very, very beautiful branch. And if you've seen the branch of the tree, you've got the tree branch hanging out, and then you've got the little stems, and then you got the little leaves, and it just, as you go out, it gets more and more delicate. Well, when it talks about his tender mercies being all over all his works, it's talking about God's mercies just kind of like hanging over you. They're there for you. They're available for you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Surely goodness and what? Mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Next time you think about God, think about his tender mercies following you all the days of your life. See, if we thought about God the way his word describes him, we would just speak to him and talk to him, and we'd be so excited to have our relationship, when we would just act so much differently than we do sometimes when we're dealing with other situations in life that we're dealing with. Because we got to understand here that his tender mercies are over all his works. Let's read that one more time. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He's disposed to show favor. He wants to bless. And he's full of tender, eager yearning. He's slow to anger. And he's great in his mercy. That means his mercy is inexhaustible. You can never exhaust the mercy of God. He's good to all. That means he's good to you. That means he's willing to do his word. He's willing to see his will manifest in your life. And his tender mercies. Those tender mercies that follow you all the day of your lives are the same tender mercies. And the Bible says they're over all his works. Your work of God and his tender mercies are over you. You know, I think we should talk a little bit more about that word compassion. If we go back to the book of Matthew, and I'd like you to look at Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to begin reading in verse 27. Because there's just something about the compassion of God that when his compassion was released and manifested, it brought tremendous healings and miracles and things, you know. There were, and you know, you see it yourselves. I mean, for the people that I'm speaking to you today, that you're preachers and you minister to people and you pray for the sick and you pray for people's needs and you help them, you pray to bless them. You know, there's sometimes when you can be just so overwhelmed in praying for them with the love of God and the compassion of God, it just seems as though the move of the Spirit through you is just so much more intense. And then there's times when it just seems like you're laying, as they said, empty hands and empty heads, and it just doesn't seem like anything's really connecting, if you know what I mean. Now, we have faith, and because we're believing by faith, we don't go by how we feel when we pray for somebody. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is there are times when the compassion of God will move you to do things when normally, if his compassion isn't working through you at that time, you may do something a little bit differently. Let's look at this verse of scripture and I'll explain to you what I mean. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 27, it says, "When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, 'Son of David, have mercy on us.'" Now, why would they call for the mercy of God? Well, you remember in the Old Testament, the singers would come and praise God, and they say, "For the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever." They would sing that. You see, the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. And so they were calling on the mercy of God. And when he, Jesus, had come into the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." You see, they called on the mercy of God. They spoke words of faith when Jesus asked them if they believed he was able to do this. Obviously, they knew he was able. And by the fact that they reached out to his mercy, I believe they were also aware of the fact that he was willing to do it. Because mercy says, "I'm willing to do it." Mercy is willing to do things many times that really legally don't have to be done. When you get a parking ticket and you know you did something wrong, you can't go into the courtroom and tell the judge, "Well, I didn't do it. Please take the ticket away," because you know you did. So what do? You plead on the mercy of the court. You say to the court, to the judge, "Lord, I'm asking you for mercy." Well, why are you asking for mercy? You're asking him to disallow that ticket. You're asking him to forgive that offense. You're asking him to give you a pardon. Now, if we would, in the natural, go to a natural judge for mercy in cases in our lives where we need correction and change, how much more is your Heavenly Father a God of mercy and a God of compassion? It says their eyes were open in verse 30, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See that no one knows it." But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. You know, when you got when you're touched by the Spirit of God, let me tell you something, it's hard to keep it in. And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a man mute and demon possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled, saying, "It was never seen like this in Israel. But the Pharisees said, "He casts out demons by the ruler of demons." Now, isn't it amazing that the Pharisees and the religious leaders are always trying to take the joy away. They're always trying to put religious wrinkles into what God wants to do. You know, a lot of times we talk about today in the world we're living in that we've got the Jezebel spirit that's been working in our nation. And we have on the right side, we have the Pharisaical, the Pharisee spirit, the one of rules and regulations and unbending and unwavering and steady and stern and hard-hearted. And God is neither a Jezebel nor a Pharisee. His heart is pure and is perfect, and his desire is his willingness to provide mercy and to respond to the needs of mankind, because he's a God that's interested, and his will is for your wellness. His will is for your wholeness. His will is for you to walk in the fullness of the blessings of God. He came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Now look here at verse 35. We're getting close to where I want you to see something. So after this encounter with the scribes and Pharisees, it says he went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Listen, he was teaching in their synagogues. Teaching is needed to deal with understanding, and teaching is needed to deal with unbelief. He was also preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And it says, and healing sickness, every sickness. He went about healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Well, people that say, well, I don't know if he'll heal my sickness. I don't know if I'll heal my disease. Well, then I'm going to point you back to Matthew chapter 8, when the leper said, Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. And Jesus said, I'm desiring it with my whole heart. You heard me read that from Weiss's translation, his expanded New Testament translation. But there's something about what you see that causes the compassion of God to stir. Because in verse 36, he says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. We don't have time to get into this today, but many times what you see through your eyes or what you perceive through your senses causes you to focus on a condition or a need. Many times, if you allow him to, the Holy Spirit will begin to bubble up within you the very compassion of God. It'll come out of your spirit. It moved Jesus in such a way that his heart quickly went to, how can I reach the people? How can I touch the people? They're like sheep without a shepherd. They're dealing with the sickness and disease and the sin condition. And so it was the very compassion of God that was rising up in Jesus. Why? Because he's filled with compassion. He's slow to anger. He's of great mercy. The Lord is good to all. He is good to all the multitudes, and his tender mercies are over all his works. And so Jesus says, pray. Pray then, the Lord of the harvest, to send out laborers into his harvest. That's you and I today, folks. We're candidates to be sent out. In fact, we've already been instructed to do that. And I guarantee you, if you will go to the Lord in prayer and you will ask him to touch your heart and to give you his heart and really let you understand and know his heart, so that you would see other people like Jesus sees other people, that what you see would cause you to be moved with compassion. Not just a natural compassion, but the compassion of Almighty God. The compassion of Almighty God. I've had that experience a couple of times in my life, and I don't like to preach on experiences. But when an experience lines up with the Word of God, there's nothing wrong with giving the testimony of it. I was going to pick up someone who was working and getting out of a bad situation with a loved one, a person who had been abused sexually, whatever, and I was going to pick this person up and bring them somewhere. And I began to think about that other person, and I was singing and praising the Lord, and the Lord put that other person, the one who was the abuser, the one who was prostituting this person. And as I was giving attention to it, I began to understand the heart that God had for that person. And I just began to weep. And I began to pray for that other person. Why? Because God had moved with compassion on the inside of me. And as I allowed him to work through me, I began to pray in the Spirit. I began to pray with the understanding. And God just really touched my heart in a marvelous way. What Jesus saw as he walked the earth. Now remember, Jesus made himself of no reputation. Jesus came as a man. Jesus came as the Adam that would be able to live and never sin. Sometimes they call him the second Adam or the last Adam, however you want to say it. I mean, a lot of people get into religious wars over that. Let me just say that Jesus came to set the record straight of how man was to live in the sight of God and how man was to live and operate in the principles of the kingdom of God. And God is still doing that today. And so this day, remember this, please, that God's will is for your wellness. And by wellness, I'm not just talking about physical wellness. I'm talking about soulish wellness. I'm talking about wellness in your finances, wellness in your body, wellness in your relationships with others, because that's the God he is. I want to read that scripture from Kenneth Weiss one more time because it's just so good. It says, "And behold, a leper, having come, fell upon his knees and touched the ground with his forehead in an expression of profound reverence before him, saying, 'Master, in the event that you may be having a heartfelt desire, you are able to cleanse me.' And having stretched forth out his hand, he touched him, saying, 'I'm desiring it from all my heart. Be cleansed at once.' And immediately his leprosy was cured by being cleansed away." You know, I'd like to suggest that to you. Perhaps there's been some issues and problems going on in your life. You may be in need of a financial miracle or breakthrough. You may be in need of something physical in your life. I would encourage you to get before the Lord. I would encourage you to worship him and acknowledge him as the God who is full of mercy and compassion. And go to him and just begin to worship him as a merciful God and a compassionate God. And then as the Holy Spirit begins to work on you, allow him and understand that it is his heartfelt desire to answer your prayers. It's his heartfelt desire. There could be that mother that has a child that's been diagnosed with some symptoms and you just don't know what to do. And people are telling you sinned or you did something wrong and you need to correct it. Listen, take all that stuff and put it away. Just get before Jesus and call out to God on his compassion and on his mercy and allow the Spirit of God to work in your life and bring healing and restoration for you. For God is good. The Lord is good to all. Say that with me. The Lord is good to me. Say it again. The Lord is good to me. Say it again. He's filled with compassion towards me. He's filled with compassion towards me. Hallelujah. Well, I'd really love to hear from you, and I haven't heard from too many people, so either nobody's listening to the program or you guys just aren't writing, but I'd sure love to hear from you and let me know how this radio broadcast has been a blessing to you. And would you do me a favor? Would you pray for BPN Radio? Would you pray for the gentries and for all the preachers and ministers that are on today so that they can be blessed and continue to provide the resources for the program? And I'd ask you to send a love offering to BPN Radio because they're just doing a tremendous work for the kingdom of God. So we're ready to sign out. God bless you. And we'd love to hear from you again. This is Rich Adarosa from Church of the Harvest, Pahokee, Florida.